This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, the partner here. And we're with Dan Harrison, the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News, and the departing Dan Harrison from the Newburyport Daily News. And so, Dan, I guess, first of all, tell us about how long you were at the Newburyport Daily News as sports editor, and then we'll get into some of those stories and where you're headed and all of that. But it's just great seeing you.
Yeah, so I've been in Newburyport for about a little over 2 years. I started part-time there. They moved me from the Salem News after I'd been at Salem for about 6 years, 7 years. And they moved me over to Newburyport, and then about 2 months, they made me the sports editor, so I've been there the last about 2 years.
A lot of stories between the Salem area and the Newburyport area with sports and kids, but how did you get into the Salem News in the first place? How did you get into sports reporting?
So I was just kind of on medical leave from school, and I was just kind of floundering. I had taken an internship with a physical therapist, my physical therapist, and like he wanted to see if I was into it, but I wasn't really. And luckily, I had the guy my father works for, the guy who's the president of CM&B, the company my father works for. He's also my godfather. He knew Phil Stacey a little bit, and he knew I was a sports nut. So he asked Phil if I could intern with the Salem News, and Phil agreed. And so, I interned there with one other intern, and basically what Phil needed me to do was answer the phones and like take live calls and scores for the area roundup. And I guess the interns they get there weren't always so good about it. Like, they're kind of allergic to the phones. So, it seemed like as many phone calls as I answered, it made it easy on them. So I was just picking up the phone nonstop. So when the internship ended, Phil was like, if you want to hang around and still work for us, we'd love to have you. And that eventually turned into, a part-time job. And then there was like a year or two there where I was just a stringer for them. And then they brought me back part-time. And then they moved me over to Newburyport to try and kind of help things out there, because the part-time guy they had over there wasn't quite working out. So they brought me over there, and then it just kind of happened where Max Cerullo, who was a sports editor at the time, just it wasn't right for him at the time, so he moved over to the Eagle Tribune to just work sports full-time. And so the position opened up, and John McCone, the former editor of the Newburyport Daily News, took a chance on me, and I think it worked out pretty good.
As I said, tons of stories between the two communities, but the medical leave?
Yeah. I wrote about this in my farewell column, but when I was a freshman at Syracuse, it was the night before my second semester, UConn was playing. Syracuse was hosting UConn, and it was a pretty big event. So I was at the game, and, I was just walking from my seat back to, the concession area, and I got pushed at the top of a flight of stairs, and there are no railings in the Carrier Dome. So, when I went to look to grab a railing, there was nothing there. And so instead of, risking falling on my neck and breaking my neck, I just jumped it. And so when I landed, my left knee just, for whatever reason, didn't brace correctly for the fall. So the bottom half of my left leg went, up mm-hmm. and under the top half. And, when I looked down, my left foot was, half the distance down that my right foot was. And, I just kind of wrenched it back into place. The security guard came over. They took me to the hospital. And it's kind of blurry because I was going in and out of consciousness. But, they couldn't operate because they couldn't figure out why my leg was turning, purple. And eventually, luckily, they realized that I had torn the artery in my left leg, but since the skin didn't break, all the blood was just leaking into my leg. So they actually, before they put me under, they said, when you wake up, you might not have your leg. And luckily, when I woke up, I had my leg. But what I also had was a really, really long rehabilitation process, a lot of surgeries, and then unfortunately, I was left with this condition called reflex sympathetic dystrophy, which is a nerve disorder where basically the nerve connections in the lower part of my leg got severed from the trauma, so they had to regrow, and when they regrew, they went haywire. So basically what happens is the nerves in my lower left leg and mostly my foot actually send messages of pain to the central nervous system, even though there's nothing wrong. So some days it's not bad, but there are some days where you even breathe on it, it feels like somebody's slapping a sunburn as hard as they can. So
that's amazing. And you know, Rick and I struggle with our, you know, our knee issues from time to time. But when I read that story in your farewell column, Dan, I was thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, it's something I didn't even know about you, that kind of a piece. But obviously, so that you kind of shared with us that worst scenario you heard from the doctor. And then, you know, even the best scenario isn't that great right now. But it's I guess it's something that you'll have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the it's a relatively new thing. I think they might even change the name for it. I mean, I used to go into the hospital maybe like once a month, once every 2 months, and they have these spinal blocks put in. That's to kind of like help with the pain. But it just kind of got old. It's a pretty painful process, and it's like it would help for a little while, and then it wouldn't help. So I just kind of got to a point where I just had to deal with it. And you know, it's not easy, but they say you know, they're relatively optimistic since it's one of these new things that, you know, it's like down in Texas and in Boston. I was lucky because, you know, Boston has such great medical facilities. Like, this is the forefront of you know, the people doing the research. So, you know, I'm optimistic that maybe, you know, in 5, 10, 20, maybe 30 years or whatever, they figure it out. But if not, you know, I'm good with it. I've learned to deal with it. So,
well, I want to talk about some of the they're going to miss you at Newburyport for this sports coverage that you've been doing there for a number of years now. I want to talk about that in a moment. I'm going to have you share some of your thoughts. But, Dan, you have to be, I think, the top sports tweeter on the North Shore. I mean, they're going to miss that more than anything, right?
I mean, I don't know. I have fun with it. The kids really like it. The kids really like to see the stuff on Twitter. So it was always just kind of fun for me. I was lucky. I was one of these, like, weirdos that didn't get an iPhone until, like, a year and a half ago. So when I used to cover games, both originally at Newburyport and then when I was at Salem, I had a flip phone, and what they did is they set up like a Twitter account for my flip phone where I would just text message like a number. So I'd be like just like texting on a flip phone the scores, and I learned to do it that way. So once I got the iPhone, it was just like 100 times easier. You know, sometimes, you know, you got your head down tweeting and you may be missing assists, but lucky there's a lot of people, you know, in the rinks at the fields that you can ask and go to, and, you know, it's just a lot of fun, and you know, people really like it. It's funny because, like, some schools are huge on Twitter and other ones are just kind of, like, just there. So it's funny to see, you know, when you're at a game tweeting about, you know, one team that has just, like, a massive Twitter following, you're just getting all these retweets and these likes. And then you're maybe covering another game that you think has a really big following, but, like, they're just not on Twitter. So you're just seeing crickets.
We're
going to hire this guy to do our tweets.
No, really. But I'm thinking, though, that so – training on a flip phone is like training for a marathon by a bike with a backpack of 50 pounds on your back, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dan, sports reporting, you know, the Salem News really has led the way on the North Shore since forever. And we go back to Mike Grenier and Gary Larrabee and Bill Kaporis and those guys. But writing high school sports and amateur sports, it takes a certain discipline, talent, and understanding. And tell me about writing high school sports.
So you mentioned the Salem News, and I was so lucky to have interned there at a time where they're the writers they had in there were like unbelievable writers. And you talk Mike Grenier, obviously Matt Jenkins, and then the two guys who are still there, Phil Stacy and Matt Williams. I mean, they're the best in the business. So I wasn't the smartest young 20-year-old, but I was smart enough to realize, like, whoa, these guys are unbelievable. So I just kind of followed what they did. I mean, I read every story they wrote, and I tried to model, you know, my writing style kind of off of what they did with my own little twist. A couple years into it, I actually had an experience that kind of changed the way I looked at reporting. It wasn't a high school game. It was actually a Little League game. Danvers was playing Peabody. And this Peabody kid just pitched a great game, and the Peabody team won. But there was one inning where Danvers had loaded the bases, and he got a strikeout of, like, Danvers' best player to end the inning. And the story was about the Peabody kid, and I wrote, you know, how the bases were loaded. I said how he struck out this kid to end the inning, and I just mentioned the kid's name. And I didn't have to. I just wasn't thinking. And, you know, I caught a little flack for that. And, you know, from that point on, I always kind of took the approach of when I'm writing things, whether it's, you know, good or bad, just have the kids in mind, because, you know, they're going to be reading it, and you never want, like, I don't do this to make myself feel good. That's not why I got into this. Like, you know, I really mean it when I say it. Like, the kids deserve the recognition, they deserve the coverage, and they deserve to feel good about themselves for what they accomplish, and I don't ever want to be somebody who's taken away from that. So you just have to kind of be cognizant of that.
It's a lesson, I think. I don't know if Jerry Higgins or who it was, but I know that we had guys in Gloucester come down from the Globe and then be write for the Gloucester Times, and they would write high school sports like they were Boston sports, and it didn't take long for Doc Enos to whack him upside the head and say, you know, get and Doc used to swear in the broadcast booth. He'd swear and use all kinds of foul language and bang his typewriter, but you never saw a bad word about a kid. And he would say something like, you know, after an error was made, blah, blah, blah. I never mentioned the kid's name in a negative light. And I think it's so important with what you guys do. And I know you've taken it up to Newburyport. If I can, Bill, let's go from present backwards and tell me a little bit about your experience in Newburyport in terms of coverage, because you got a little bit different population up there, but the Cape Ann League has gotten so strong in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the Cal. I love the Cal. So it was a lot of fun covering these teams. You know, I think some sports are obviously stronger than others, but, like, it's all the same kids playing the various sports. Like, you get to cover, you know, you get to cover a kid who maybe runs cross country in the fall and then plays basketball in the winter and then plays lacrosse in the spring. Like, that, you kind of get a good little... It's really fun getting to see a kid who's a really good athlete, or just, you know, a kid who's a decent athlete but a really good competitor in these various avenues. And that's what I really like about the job, is that, you know, when you're working for a paper that maybe doesn't have the biggest staff and you got to put out a section, like, you have to go cover all games of various sports. Like, I know people in the business who, I'd never cover a field hockey game. Why? Like, why not? Like, you go cover a field hockey game. You can't find enjoyment in watching something like that, then you probably shouldn't be in the business. So, and I was really lucky that I have good teams, but I also have really fun kids to cover. Like, I don't ever see kids turn on each other, no matter what's happening. Like, yeah, the coaches do an amazing job of fostering these cultures. Like, I've seen teams get whacked. I've seen teams underperform in a playoff game and maybe have, like, a disappointing performance. And the kids never turn on each other. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And your coverage area, too, Dan, up there, is that you've got a bunch of schools to cover. I mean, it's, and that in itself, you know, is a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? Because you're at games and then you're back covering games that you're not at.
Yeah, I mean, it's 5 schools, including Georgetown. We don't sell a ton of papers in Georgetown, so they don't get quite the coverage the other schools get. But, I mean, it's a lot, but you just got to make sure you're on the phones and you're talking with coaches when they call in scores, because you find out, you know, even if you're not at the games, you find out which kids are doing well and, like, how the team's trending. So when you do go to cover a game, you kind of know what to expect. And, you know, it's basically doing your research beforehand. But it's you know, whether you're at the game or you're taking the phone call, like, there's kids who played in that game who want to see their names in the paper, who want to have their performance highlighted. So you have to find a way to try and get it done as you can. And I'm really lucky that, you know, when I first started, I was able to hire a part-timer in Nick Giannino, who's now over at Salem. And Nick's a great guy from the area. He went to Pawtucket High. And, you know, he's a little green when he started, but we worked together, and he's a hard worker, and he's very, very good writer. He's got a promising career in front of him. And when he left to go take a full-time position at Salem, hired another part-timer, and I got super lucky again, Connor Holy, who's my part-timer now. And he was a sports editor at Penn State, very smart kid. He, like, I didn't have to tell him, like, hey, look, we're covering high school kids. He totally got that from day one. He shoulders more responsibility than your average just part-timer. So, like, that's helped me a ton. And he's another kid with a bright future. So, I mean, I've been really lucky in that regard, because, you know, I've seen part-timers at other papers and full-timers at other papers where I'm just like, man, why are you doing this? It doesn't make any sense. But I never had that problem, luckily.
We're talking with Dan Harrison from the Newburyport Daily News, sports editor who's leaving. But, Dan, if you were to pick out 3 top events, 3 teams. You knew this question's coming, right? And I know it's painful, but maybe not 3. Could be 2. Could be 1. Could be 5. I don't know. What kind of memories do you have as kind of the big games to be at?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many memories. You know, more recently, one that stands out is Triton football. No secret, if you read my paper, you know I'm kind of a football guy. It's just something about it I love. So that team is really fun to cover. And, you know, head coach Pat Sheehan, I mean, absurdly nice guy. I mean, he's great, does a great job, runs a great program, is always a pleasure to talk to, wins or losses, just a really nice guy. And he had that perfect kind of culture on his team. I mean, the quarterback, another really good kid, Louis LaRue. I mean, he cared more about blocking than he did running in touchdowns, which you don't see. I mean, he had kids who were really good athletes in other sports play minor roles and have no problem doing it. It was just a really, really fun group to be around. Also in the fall, the Amesbury girls soccer team, who I didn't even cover a single regular season game. They didn't hold it against me. The Amesbury girls, really nice girls. They were just happy to see me there for the playoff run, and I was lucky to cover, you know, a handful of their games. And I'll always remember after they lost to East Bridgewater in the D4 semis, you know, all the seniors, every one of them, the waterworks were going, they're crying, and I'm like, Coach Thibodeau, you know, do you think they'll be okay to talk? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to bring them all over. So he lined up every senior, and they all were crying as they were talking to me, and they just all wanted to tell me about, like, how great their team was and how much they loved their fellow seniors. And I was like, man, like, thinking back, when I was a junior, we lost in the state semis in lacrosse, and I was a goalie, and it was in overtime, and I gave up the overtime goal. And, I mean, if some reporter tried to come talk to me, I would have bit his head off. Like, I probably would have said things that would have had my dad ground me for a year. And these girls were just so nice. So, like, that was really awesome. But, I mean, it's unfair to really leave any of these teams out. I mean, going back to the first year, that Pawtucket football team was a lot of fun to cover when they won the Cal. And, like, you know, Coach Hayden got his 200th win. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Coach Hayden's not the most talkative person when it's about himself in particular. And so just kind of talking to the kids about it, like, you kind of get a sense of why he's done so well over there and why the kids love playing for him. I mean, I played against him, and then I'd interviewed him a couple of times when I was at Salem when, like, Hamilton Wenham would play Pawtucket. And I was always wondering, like, you know, like, all right, like, he clearly is a good coach, but – and then you see him kind of operate in practice and on the sidelines in games, and you're like, oh, my God, like, that would be the perfect guy to play for. Not only does he know everything about football, but he has fun with the kids. Like, he's joking with them in practice. It was just – when you see those little moments, they stand out. Amesbury softball team, some of those same girls. When I first took over, like the first 2 weeks I was a sports editor, Amesbury was in the midst of making a playoff run under Chris Perry in Chris Perry's final season. And another moment I'll never forget, when they lost in the state semis, like it was Chris's last game, so the girls were very emotional. And they all just, right after the game, while we're interviewing, like, all the reporters are interviewing Coach Perry, all the girls just took off and went to the bus. Now, I'm standing there as a reporter, like, oh, man, like, I need a kid's voice for this story. I need someone to say something about Coach Perry. And I'm looking around, and I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody. And then all of a sudden, I kind of see Maddie Napoli, who's now a senior but was only a sophomore then. I don't know if she'd ever done an interview. I had never interviewed her. She's talking with her parents, and she's clearly down, and like I said, she's a sophomore, and I just went up to her, and I was like, hey, Maddie, do you mind talking with me really quick? And you could tell she really didn't want to, but she did, and she gave me good quotes, and she saved my butt because I needed those quotes. And, you know, so it's fun to watch her now as a senior. You know, she was my co-basketball player of the year. In basketball, they went – that's another fun team to cover. Some of the same girls from soccer, their girls' basketball team went to the state semifinals. The captain's really nice girls, her, Julia LaMontagne, and Abby Sartori, who's also a really good tennis player. Just a really nice girl. So it's fun to see some of these girls that I covered as sophomores, you know, go out so well as seniors. And then, you know, Michaela Porcaro, who's really awesome, who I didn't get to cover when I was at Salem when she was at Fenwick. But she came to Amesbury this year and, you know, helped them win the soccer North, helped them win the basketball North, and the softball team's going to try and win the North. So I just – a lot of fun.
The Hamilton Wenham girls captain bailed me out in the same way after a loss in the state tournament. I know what you're talking about. But, you know, Dan, the fact that you're a goalie, that explains a lot.
Yeah, I was one of these kids where – it's actually pretty funny. Molly Elmore, she's a freshman at Newburyport High. She was the Masco girls goalie, the one who helped them make that great run. So Matt Williams, the unbelievable writer that he is, he did a story on her where he kind of dug up that, like, when she was a kid, she was just obsessed with being a goalie, and she would just, like, she would just throw, like, a ball against the wall and, like, make saves against it and just do that stuff on her own. And I read the story, and I was like, yeah, that's time machine. That was me when I was, like, eight years old. Only problem is my dad was my hockey coach, and he told me if I played goalie, he wouldn't coach any of my games, and he wouldn't even come to them, so I just played defense.
Dan, probably, you know, close to wrapping up here, but, you know, I like your answer, you know, for the, you know, because it is about, you know, the relationships with coaches and players, you know, and I think it's so, that question I asked you earlier about big games or something like that, that's not the way I would answer it either, because it's not always about the big games, although being at the events, like you said, is huge, but seeing these people, these teacher coaches work and the players react to it, I think has been very special. The other thing with the girls, too, is that they could be crying out on the court after the loss, but they're back on the bus, and within 10 minutes, they're laughing. You know, it's just, they're different, you know, as somebody that had a daughter that played athletics, you know, sometimes they're just different than the guys.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, I've seen plenty of guys, you know, with the waterworks, too. I mean, it's just athletics like that, and when you have male or female, when you have these teams with such close bonds, when you go through something like that and you lose, and that initial kind of realization that you're not playing another game with these people, and like this season, this special group is over, you know, it's kind of a rush of an emotion that you maybe aren't quite prepared to handle. And, you know, what happens when we can't like process our emotions or handle them, tend to get a little teary eyed. So I don't think it's any different for boys or girls. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen crazy games play out. I played in crazy games. I mean, I've watched enough sports on TV, like the Super Bowl this year. Like, you see crazy stuff happen all the time. So, like, those moments, whether it was Triton coming back to beat Andover in hockey that was wild, or Newburyport and Rob Shea's incredible drive against Pawtucket in the playoffs this year, like this – those games, those moments, they're great, and I love covering them, but it just doesn't kind of resonate with me the way, you know, the relationships the kids have with each other do. It's because that, you know, for me, that's what sports is all about. I mean, I was always somebody who just, you know, like, I like golf, but I don't know if I would have loved playing golf only because, well, I mean, in high school you have a golf team, but it's too much like you're just kind of by yourself. Like, I needed that kind of team thing. Like, the locker room was like a, you know, it was like a family-type place. You could go in there and, you know, it's a stress relief. You know, you have people help you get through the day. And, you know, you have people you go to battle with, you know, you fight with, you bleed with. It just creates such a special bond. And probably my favorite thing about covering the kids in Newburyport is, like, every team I've seen, doesn't matter the gender, doesn't matter the sport, those teams are so close, and it makes it so much fun to do.
You know, and there's a cross-team closeness as well, because some of these kids play in other leagues and other times of the year, and a lot of the players, especially the older kids, will know each other, and that's a bond that we don't see really anywhere else as well.
Yeah, and it says more about how great the kids are. Like, I see it on Twitter. I'll tweet something about, like, a Triton kid, and then, like, three Pawtucket kids will favorite. Like, it's just that stuff's just awesome.
Well, that's history. What's next?
So I'm going to this a publishing company out of Beverly called Nighthouse Publishing. They publish business magazines. So I took a sales position there where it's going to be my job to try and sell the prospect of one of the magazines doing a story on a business or a CEO to the CEOs. It's, you know, commission-based. It's a sales position. But I think my familiarity with how stories work and, you know, what they can do for people should help me a little bit, I hope. I don't know. And maybe I feel like I'm a pretty good, pretty personable guy, and got a little bit of a silver tongue. So, you know, I'm hoping I can, you know, do decently for myself, and you know, I'm trying to make a little money, not to be too greedy. But I'm also not ruling out the writing stuff. I'm going to try and do freelance stuff, whether it's come tournament time this year, if my hours allow it, or during the football season. I mean, I'm not going to work weekends anymore at the sales job, so I told Phil Stacey that, you know, anytime he needs me to cover like a Saturday football game or a Friday night football game, you know, no place I'd rather be. And, you know, I'm going to miss the writing. I do some writing on my own personal stuff, movie script. I'm working on a book. So, you know, I'm going to keep writing in that venue.
Can you share anything more on those last two things, the book and the movie script?
No, I mean, it's more just personal projects. They're fun. I never realized how hard it would be to write dialogue. Like, when you write for a living where you're getting people to actually give you quotes and you got to, like, make up what people say, it's pretty hard. So, I don't know. I'm a little self-conscious about those, so we'll wait until I get, do a little more work on them.
Maybe you made everything up all along, Dan. This is all make-believe, this whole thing.
Matrix. You know, I'm definitely not perfect, and I've had plenty of complaints over the years, but that one was never one I had. There's a period in time where, like, my recorder runs out of batteries or whatever, and I have to do it by hand, and that's my biggest fear is, like, I'm going to get the quote wrong, and I'm going to have some kid or some parent or coach be like, hey, like, you totally misquoted me, because then I'm just going to feel like a jerk, because it's the last thing. You know, I'm one of these people that, when you deal with a lot of kids and a lot of sports, you get names wrong. It just kind of happens. But I always feel really bad about it. Like, I never could just blow it off. Because, like, especially if it's a kid who doesn't get written about much. Like, you screwed up his name or her name. And, you know, they were looking forward to seeing that. And so, like, you hate it. So the last thing I ever wanted to do was misquote anybody. So hopefully I didn't.
I hope you've kept records. Because I talked to Gary Larrabee the other day and said I hope he writes a memoir. Because you know so many names and so many kids. And they come to mind in so many situations. And that's fun to read about. And it's, you know, it's fun for the kids to read about it later. It's fun for the parents to read about it and people who know them. So I hope you keep doing that. And then one other question I want to ask you, Dan, was I don't listen to Boston 24/7 Sports anymore because they don't do what you guys do. They don't talk to the athletes. They don't talk to the coaches, and they don't find those relationships. They just pontificate from afar. But I kind of miss the weekly columns that we used to see in the paper. We used to see a column, some sports column every night. That kind of thing. Is that something you could do in the future as well as a stringer, freelancer, or whatever?
I mean, maybe. I think typically when they look to do columns, whether it's Salem or Newburyport, it's you more want the staff guys doing it because they're the ones talking to the coaches every night. They're the ones, you know, covering the most games. Columns are a lot of fun. Actually, when I came over to Newburyport, they had a little bit of a policy in place where they didn't want us to do columns because there was an issue with a column one of the part-timers wrote we won't get into. But, you know, luckily John McCone trusted me enough to just kind of be good enough to not cross that line. And so I started writing columns, and I had a lot of fun with it. Not so much fun with my last column because, you know, the topic is myself, and that's my least favorite topic to write about. And, you know, I think it should be about the kids, so that was a little weird. But when it comes to the columns, they're a lot of fun, but they're also kind of a lot of work because you're trying to get all these teams in there. You're trying not to miss anybody, and it takes a while to put them together. And when you have to cover so many games and write so many other stories, it gets a little tough. Like, I would have loved to have been able to write, like, a weekly column for every single sport, but the only one I think I was able to do where it ran every single week like clockwork was football, and that's just because I'm nuts about football. But, you know, we did basketball columns in the winter, hockey columns, lacrosse columns. One of my favorite things I came up with was the name for my lacrosse column, Cross Examination. I thought that was pretty funny. But, yeah, I love the columns. It's just a matter of you have to remember that even though, you know, you can be writing in the first person, like, it's really not about you. And I think mostly what's happened with the Boston sports journalism that really is hard to watch is that so much of it is about you. Like, you got to build a TV personality. Like, Twitter for me is fun because we're tweeting about the kids, but, like, these guys on Twitter, like, it's about them. They're building their own brand, and that kind of goes against what journalism's supposed to be. So it's like, people ask me, oh, why don't you ever try and get into that? Like, I don't know. I just wouldn't want it's too much if it's about you and not enough if it's about the story. And when people start caring too much about the people telling them the story and not enough about the story, then I think that's a problem.
Well, Dan, I know you're going to be missed big time up there. And anything else that we haven't asked you about, that any parting shot? You want to rip one of us on the way out the door here? I don't know what anything else you want to say, but we enjoy talking with you here today.
Yeah, no, I mean, I it's not in my nature to rip people, at least not to their faces. No, I'm just kidding. I would just say that the one thing I'm most thankful for and most grateful for is you know, being able to be given the opportunity by Karen Andreas and Phil Stacey, and then, you know, falling into a situation where there were people in the greater Newburyport area were just, they were so kind and so appreciative and so welcoming. Like, when you go to a game and you have somebody tell you that, like, your sports section is great and that, like, they read it at the dinner table with their family or whatever, like, that just motivates you. That just makes you want to go out and cover more games. And honestly, it made leaving really hard. This was not an easy decision. I really, really struggled with it before I even decided, all right, I'm going to start looking elsewhere. There was, like, a three-month period where I went, it's going back and forth. Like, can I really leave this? Because I love the area. I love doing it. You know, seeing smiles on the kids' faces, you know, when they're checking their phones and they see that you tweeted about them. Like, that kind of stuff is just so rewarding. It's going to be so hard to leave. So, basically, I'm just very thankful to the people of Newburyport, to the people of the greater Newburyport area, the whole community, the parents who raised such outstanding kids, and the kids who just have been a delight to cover. And I'm sure whoever takes over for me will do a great job, because they'll know the kids deserve it, and the kids will make it easy on them because they made it easy for me.
Well, somebody that, like myself, that kind of made a similar decision once years ago, part-time's the key here, part-time. So run with that, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dan Harrison with us from the Newburyport Daily News sports editor, and I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore here on MSONewsSports.com.